The National Hockey League's Stanley Cup playoffs began this week. The sport's highest level features players from all over North America and Europe, but back in October, the NHL revealed the results of their first ever diversity and inclusion report. Turns out 84% of its employees are white.
That was a number that was not unexpected.
That's NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman.
But making the decision to have such a report and make it public is consistent with our goal of making sure that we're welcoming and inclusive and that we're going to hold ourselves accountable in a very public fashion as to how we're progressing to improve and increase our diversity. So having that report and making it public was a conscious effort to say we're going to do better.
So far, their efforts have taken a lot of heat. For example, the NHL followed up the report with an event it called the Pathway to Hockey Summit in Fort Lauderdale. Originally, it was announced on LinkedIn that participants must identify, among other things, as female, Black, Asian, Latino, Indigenous, or LGBTQIA+. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called them discriminatory provisions, and the NHL took down the post, claiming the wording was not accurate. Earlier this week, when I spoke to NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, I asked him what happened.
I don't want to get into another debate with the governor. The fact is, it was a forum to tell people about what opportunities there are in the game, particularly if they weren't familiar with us. And what the posting should have said, putting aside whether or not we were called out on it, what it should have said, it was people of all diverse backgrounds were encouraged to attend.
But either way, doesn't it appear as if either you did back down to Ron DeSantis or that you didn't have this together in the way that you intended to? You're trying to reach out to a diverse audience.
We were, but the fact of the matter is, in how it appeared and what the substance are sometimes divergent. The fact of the matter is that the LinkedIn post was misdrafted, and if it had been scrutinized higher up in the organization, it would have been corrected before it ever went out.
The thing is, this hasn't been the only incident.
The NHL's Hockey is for Everyone campaign, that's when players wore Pride Night warm-up jerseys and used rainbow-taped sticks. But after some refused to take part in this, the NHL left it up to individual teams to decide whom or what to support. Commissioner, what's the point of a league-wide initiative on inclusion if
you don't make... It's always been left up to the clubs. It's always been left to the clubs. Clubs make their own decisions to the extent that they have pride nights. The elements that they put into them have always been left up to the clubs and has always been left to the players as to who wants to participate. And overwhelmingly, our clubs and our players support Pride Night and what it stands for. And I don't think that the notion that a couple of players on each team or on some teams were not comfortable wearing pride jerseys is not an indictment. To the contrary, you have to be tolerant of all views and all expressions, and sometimes respect and endorsements are not the same thing. But overwhelmingly, our record's very clear in terms of our support of Pride Night.
But Commissioner, can you see how the people the NHL is trying to attract might feel like the league may not support them if they can't stand behind their own initiatives?
But we stand behind our initiatives, whether or not certain players choose to wear a particular jersey or to be involved in a particular cause. And again, if you want to focus on a handful of players, you're free to do that, but you have to look at the full body of work. And I think our record is crystal clear on that.
On another topic, Commissioner, fighting. Why is fighting, two guys just squaring up on the ice, barefisted, such a beloved part of the culture of hockey?
Well, I don't know that you can say that it's a beloved part of the
Commissioner,
culture.
I got to interrupt you there, Commissioner, because I used to work at ESPN, and I've spoken to hockey player after hockey player who told me that it's just part of the way hockey is, and you can't remove it from the game.
But by the way, what percentage of our games have fights?
Well, it doesn't matter. The fact that it's stamped out.
You've now made an assertion with respect to your focus on the game. What percentage of our games have fights?
You tell me. You have the percentage.
No, you tell me, because I will tell you once you acknowledge you don't know the answer to the question.
No, to that specific question, no. I can't say that I'm tuned in to how many fights there are in NHL games.
Roughly 80% of our games do not have fights. That's probably a record low. The types of fights we have compared to years ago are spontaneous emotional reactions to what takes place on the ice. We don't have players who are designated fighters like we used to in the old game. The role of fighting is the game in the game has evolved and really acts as a thermostat, because remember, we have a very fast physical, emotional game where players are encouraged to have body contact. And by the way, they happen to be carrying sticks. So at the end of the day, it is a part of the game that is an emotional outlet. But overwhelmingly, roughly 80% of our games don't have fights in them.
But you just said the role of fighting has changed, which means it's still part of the game.
Well, I mean, it's penalized. It's there. I'm not going to deny the fact that there are occasional fights, but overwhelmingly, there aren't.
So considering that it still is at least 20% part of the game, as you mentioned, does the league acknowledge that CTE can result from head trauma suffered while playing in the NHL and maybe getting into these fights?
You know what? Now you're going off on a tangent.
No, the fact we're talking about a fight, Commissioner, where people's heads make contact with other people's fists.
Now you're throwing in CTE. We listen to the medical opinions on CTE, and I don't believe there has been any documented study that suggests that elements of our game result in CTE. There have been isolated cases of players who have played the game, have had CTE, but it doesn't mean that it necessarily came from playing in the NHL.
Where head contact happens all the time, whether it's through falling on the ice or making contact with another player?
What you're trying to do is equate football and hockey, and the two are not comparable in terms of the amount of head contact.
Okay. That is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. Commissioner, thank you very much.
Thanks. Nice to be with you. Enjoy the playoffs.